Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Hey, I wanted to mention quickly before we get to the word, because I'm not supposed to do that for one more minute. Eddie Ift is going to be on the show tomorrow. Eddie Ift is a longtime friend of the show. I love this guy. Actually, it's funny because he's on Instagram and his daughter is not even a year younger than your daughter, right? They're pretty close in
age.
And it's just so funny to see the two kids, and it's just adorable. So, and I think he is just Eddie Ift, IFFT. Tonight he's playing in Mill Valley. Unfortunately, it's after my bedtime because I would totally go see him. And tomorrow night he is playing at the Punchline here in San Francisco. So midweek shows. But listen, if you love comedy, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, those are the nights to go and see comedy when all the crazy weekend people aren't there. So Eddie Ift, couple of shows tonight, Mill Valley, tomorrow, San Francisco at the Punchline. And he'll be on our show tomorrow, I think about 8 o'clock in the morning. So looking forward to seeing our friend Eddie. I know Hooman's looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Can't wait.
Not everyone can be invited to every wedding, Hooman. That's all. You know, he's your friend. You love him.
Well.
This part of the show is brought to you by...
Your kid's still a tea guy?
Yeah, he loves tea.
Tea's his thing.
Someday he'll grow up and get on coffee. I mean, come on! But right now he's a tea guy.
Well, he's going through different phases.
Sure.
There he was with the cello. I mean, who knew?
Yeah, he still has the cello.
He still does the cello?
He does all the stuff. Kid's a little renaissance man.
All right.
I like it. It's so funny because, you know, the home assistant, the Amazon one.
Right.
You got the one kid who's like, you know, yelling for whatever songs that the bass drops in, or, you know, just kind of crazy.
You're talking about Yeah Right.
And then they alternate. They, you know, all day long, like one kid yells for one thing and the next kid yells for the other thing. They take turns. So it'll be like from one classical. And then the younger one will be like, that piece is 9 minutes long. Why? That's not fair.
Oh my,
I should get two songs for your one song.
Is this on the weekends? Why are they in the house at the same time?
Well, he's home for spring break right now. But yeah, on the weekends or whenever. This is kind
it's
of
spring
an
break?
It is for Berkeley. He's got this week off.
Shouldn't he be in a Speedo down the river drinking beer?
He wants to be home with us. We have a couple shows we're watching.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
I know.
All right.
He came home Friday night after his D&D night.
Oh, boy.
That he has with his friends. All right. Let's see here. Celebrity Trash today. This story is going to annoy President Trump on so many levels. So I'm happy to do it. Not only did Stormy Daniels bring more eyeballs to 60 Minutes than it's had in a decade, she also outperformed Donald Trump's 60 Minutes interview. Now, you know, this was about him, so I guess he can take some small comfort in that. But 22 million people tuned into 22 million people. They're like, oh, this was good.
I'm telling you, people wrote in by my reaction on it yesterday on the text. But the truth is, you expect with a porno star and a sitting president that the story is going to be full of stuff you've never heard of, and to have it end up being as tame as it was.
Right.
Again,
And we had heard everything already. There was not one new piece of information revealed.
She's a porn star. You expect that to involve, I don't know,
devices that they
something
sell.
Something scary.
Invasion of places you didn't even know were invadable.
I'll tell you what. I would have expected to have to look something up.
Right.
I don't
sure.
Anybody?
What trick? You know, she must have a Hooman. She must have advanced moves.
Yeah.
Nothing.
More than 22 million people tuned in for it, for Stormy Daniels' interview.
All right.
On Sunday night. When Trump sat down with 60 Minutes after winning the election in 2016, only 20 million people tuned in. So he can take credit for a chunk of the success. It's about him. I'm sure he will. But then, he might be crushed to know that the subject of the last 60 Minutes segment that beat Stormy's numbers was an interview with Barack Obama in 2008. It got 24.5 million viewers. Also, you know, as she was talking about how the second time she met up with him, he was watching Shark Week. And
this was at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and it was clear.
He made her sit down and watch that with him. And
it was clear he was trying to get laid.
Yes.
And she was trying to get on The Apprentice and wanted the confirmation of her appearance on The Apprentice before she was willing to do
the stuff.
The things. And when
he said,
boring
things that she's willing to do.
I haven't been able to get an answer for you on that yet. She went, okay, bye.
Yeah. Okay, call me when you can get me an answer. The Wrap, I guess, if the Wrap.com, they figured out what Shark Week show it is. So they didn't list it here, but.
I do not watch Shark Week.
If you care.
Do you watch that?
I have. I don't like make a point of, you know, is that an Animal Planet thing?
I think it is.
I
don't watch it. I hate it.
Oh, well, of course you hate it. You live with sharks. Anyway, that's what's going on. Tom Arnold was not asked back for the Roseanne reunion.
No surprise there.
No.
He
zero
got half
surprise.
Of Roseanne's fortune when he left.
So is. Given how his marriage and working relationship with the real Roseanne turned out, it's no surprise that he wasn't asked back. But the Hollywood Reporter said, hey, will you, for us, watch the season premiere of Roseanne? Which I think is tonight, right?
Yes.
It actually
I'm
airs.
I'm hearing
tonight.
About
He's
it quite
it.
A bit, yeah. actually.
He's seen it. And he was not evil about it. In fact, he liked it. He seemed to like it. He said, Roseanne has done everything from pulling my hair transplants immediately after surgery
Ooh.
To saying I had a 3-inch wiener on Saturday Night Live. So I figure if I can give the show another shot, maybe other people can too. One of his favorite things about the show is Laurie Metcalf, who plays Roseanne's sister Jackie. And she was also up for an Oscar for playing the mom
on Lady Bird.
Yeah,
she's done really
Bird.
Well.
She's great.
He and says, she plays Sheldon's mom on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Lori is a tour de force. She could carry this show. She could carry every show ever.
Yeah.
Tom is not a fan of Roseanne's character being a Trump supporter, but he kind of understands it. He says, Roseanne Barr knew Donald Trump personally for 30 years and saw how he treated women. She even did business with him. I'm not surprised by anything Trump does, but Roseanne Barr made $200 million off Roseanne Connor, so I'm a little disappointed that she doesn't have Roseanne Connor's back.
Hmm.
So...
I like that guy. We've had
Tom
him in
Arnold.
Here.
Tom
yeah,
Arnold.
I, for whatever weird reason, he's not sort of traditionally funny in the stand. I wouldn't go see him do stand-up,
right.
is I guess my
Which
point.
Which I think he was here.
He does
yeah.
do it, yeah.
Right.
But I do find him funny.
He was such a sweet person.
Yeah.
He actually was. Like I agree.
Super
I found
friendly
super
and earnest and
how
trying
great he was.
To
yep.
be a good person.
Yeah, yep. yeah.
And trying to be a good guest, which not every guest does try.
Right.
Oh, that is so true.
Yeah. The ones who really try, you're like, you're welcome
Thank
back
you.
Anytime. Thank you so much. I feel like this is a symbiotic relationship.
Yes.
Like, you give, we give. You take, we take. This was funny. Bryn and I were laughing our ass. And there are a million of these, actually. These are rock's most politically incorrect songs. So,
is Eminem's new song on there from his album?
Oh, I don't know. What's incorrect about it?
Oh, man. He's just blasting Donald Trump from beginning to end.
Yeah, but that's not rock.
Oh, no, that's not.
Oh, that's
yeah.
not rock. Okay.
Yeah, these are pretty specifically sort of rock and early rock. There's a lot of early stuff on here, too. But it's funny because when we first started talking about the topic, he goes, oh, I bet you there's a bunch of R&B songs on there that are inappropriate.
Or songs that I could name that are inappropriate.
Right.
But then I went down the list and realized.
As he was listening to them, he's like, oh, well, mine are just about liking your booty.
Yeah, like sex and stuff like that. Like this song right here. Radio hit that repeats feeling on your booty like 15 times in a row.
Your booty.
There's nothing inappropriate about this, though.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
That's just love.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Booty. It's just love. I mean, he's not saying your 15-year-old booty, which is unfortunately the problem with a lot of the songs that made the inappropriate list. These are politically incorrect. So there's a few, and some of these I hadn't heard, but a lot of them, and what were there, 50 on the list? So we went through and
There were a lot. I didn't count all of them. At least 20-something.
Yeah.
We
stopped counting in the
All right, let me hear a couple.
So this one's from 1958. And it's Chuck Berry Chuck was in his 30s when he wrote this song, Sweet Little 16.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh, that's a good one. You know, 16 does seem to be the cutoff.
Can
too.
You imagine Lily White, middle America, hearing this from Chuck Berry? Probably freaking. Like, yeah. This is the original Marilyn Manson right there.
No wonder the parents were all scared. Right. I know, oh my God. This is right along the same lines. This is a song from 1960 by Johnny Burnett, which Ringo Starr made into a number one hit in 1973. It's called You're 16.
Ay, ay, ay.
You're beautiful and you're mine.
Oh, I have heard this song.
Yeah.
You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
Who's this? This is Elvis?
This is Johnny Burnett.
Oh.
And then Ringo Starr, at age 34, made this into a number one hit in the early 70s. Like, it was...
I don't remember him
version?
Doing it.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, oh, you don't have it? Never mind.
It's okay.
Never
yeah.
mind.
No, this one is... it's just funny at first. Oh, is this?
This is Ringo's version. Here it is.
With my dreams and into my heart.
You know this.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
You're 16. La la la. Ooh, la la la.
I've heard that hook, but I don't know this song. Like.
Yeah. I know the original one, but I don't know this one.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard both of them, but yeah, I for sure. My dad for sure had that 45. When we were kids, all we had was my dad's 45s,
sure.
And he had all those boxes of them.
Uh-huh.
Remember how bulky music used to be?
Yes.
This one is it's kind of funny at first, and then it just gets less and less funny. It's called Ahab the Arab, and it was a big hit in 1962 by Ray Stevens. Oh. Stevens. And it's, you know... It's funny. And
it seems
like
he's
even
just telling
a video.
A story
he's telling
at
a story
first,
at
yeah.
first, but then he starts doing the. What is it called when you do that? Is there a name for that?
I don't know the word for it.
Well, it sounds like he's mocking Arabic, is what it sounds like.
Right.
Sure.
He's for sure.
Well, now you're making me think of the Cure song "Killing an Arab." Is that on there?
That's not on here.
Oh.
Although it could be somewhere in those 50 damn songs. Right. All right, go ahead. All right, so he's telling
so
the story.
Old, right.
It's offensive, but it's...
It's inoffensive.
You know...
Until it gets to this part here.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
So super
God.
Politically incorrect song from 1962. They say this one, you shouldn't kill ladies that don't like you. The Beatles, it's called Run for Your Life from 1965. Oh, boy.
Mono.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of your life,
that's
apparently.
That's probably enough. I shouldn't put yeah. this in my face.
This next song is one of my favorites. And listen, it's a song about a crime of passion. And I absolutely love it. In fact, I have a friend named Joe that I must sing this to him once a week.
You do?
Sure. Because he walks in, I'm like, hey, Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? So the song is basically man catches woman cheating, shoots her dead, and is fleeing to Mexico. Thank you, Yuzi. So basically it's the same song as the Beatles, except one step further. The woman actually did do the cheating, and he did do the deed.
Well, I guess the people who write these songs are telling stories, and
sure.
that would be their excuse, right?
Absolutely.
It's not me. I'm not first-personing this. I'm doing it. Yeah. Because I know Stone Temple Pilots got in tons of trouble for sex type thing. Is that on the list?
It's not, actually. Was that on the long list?
I don't know.
But... I feel like that would have made the short
and
list.
That's, he's being a character, but the character's a rapist.
Ugh. And actually, there's a few songs, like as soon as you said rapist, there's a few songs that come to mind. Politically, these are rock's most politically incorrect songs. This one is from 1970s. I don't know this one. It was a top 20 hit by the Buies, and it's called Timothy, and it's about cannibalism. Three dudes get trapped when a mine caves in, and when they're rescued, there's only two guys left.
Oh.
And the whole question is, what happened to Timothy? I can't understand what they're saying, but apparently the gist of the song is that they ate him. You know, listen, somebody had to... Oh. Just a piece of the
Yikes.
Meat.
Yikes.
Okay, that's enough of that one. We get the idea.
That's a terrible song.
They ate their friend, Timothy.
I'm looking at the list on ultimateclassicrock.com.
Oh, is that what it is?
Maybe
oh,
he made him a deal. Rock. That might be the way that went down.
Take care of my family and you can eat me?
Oh, I was thinking, like, let's... I need, like, a few... Like, if it's us, I'm like, all right, ladies, I need you to do really neat stuff to me for a couple hours. And
then you can kill me and eat
then
me.
Make it painless, my death. I'd need that to be painless. So somehow you got to do
well,
it
how
quick.
Are we going
to
do that?
I don't know.
I mean, all we
quick.
Have is knives.
Well, then stab me in the eye and make it done fast.
Oh,
like,
God. That might hurt really bad.
Yeah, I don't want to stab you. I'll just choke you out or something.
No, that takes too long.
Yeah, I'll be sitting there like, oh, my God. I say
we nick
there's
his,
no blood that
we
way.
We nick his, well, we got to get the blood out anyway. You can't be eating the meat all full of blood. We'll just nick you a jugular, and then we'll wait Yikes. For you to bleed out. It's just, you know, it's...
That doesn't
it's,
hurt?
I don't know. I mean,
I
it'll hurt.
It
the initial cut will hurt, but I think as your blood's pumping out...
Anyway, then no deal then. You need to make it painless.
No deal.
1971. Jethro Tull, Aqualung.
What's... I know this song. What's not PC about this? It's the first sentence. Oh my God.
So, in case you couldn't make it out there, he's sitting on a park bench eyeing little girls with bad intent. There's also, here it is. Watching as the frilly panties run.
Oh,
he's,
my God.
He's sitting at a park watching kids. Like,
I never knew.
I never knew either.
It's just such a funny part of our, like, to me, Aqualung, I love
you
Jethro Tull.
You hear that song, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, Aqualung, yeah. This next one is one of my favorite Stones songs. It's called Brown Sugar. And I thought it was just about interracial love.
So did I. What's the matter with it?
Well, it's actually about a plantation owner taking advantage of his female slaves.
What?
Which kind of sets it in a whole new light for me. So here's a... Were there any specific...
Cotton fields!
It's right there!
Ah!
Wait, I missed it.
Play it again.
Slave in the...
Something about a slave plows the cotton fields. Oh, man.
It's gold
a brown
coast
sugar.
Slave.
Say it again. Gold coast slave. Oh, my God.
Ship bound for cotton fields. Sold in the market down in New Orleans.
Oh, man. All this time.
How'd you grow up with that and miss that line?
I don't know. I know.
How'd you sing along to that? You just like...
You know what? I guess I never did because that is... That's
awful.
I feel
like I have sung that song and I just don't... Oh, God, it's so crazy. I just thought... And it's a radio staple still. There's classic rock stations that still are playing that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, I guess he's just telling a story. It's a terrible story, but... the vapors turning Japanese. It's about self-love, but it's racist. Like they say, you're squeezing your eyes shut, and that makes you look Asian.
Right,
it makes you look Japanese. We're getting kind of late here. I want to jump to the crystals.
Crystals.
This is
yes.
a little gem that that Bryn found. I'm not sure if I. Know this one. Is it called He Hit Me?
Yeah, it's called He Hit Me.
All right, let's hear this.
All right.
He Hit Me. Me too. Yeah, that's not a very PC thing in today's world.
It's very much a downer.
Yeah.
Are you going to hit that Guns N' Roses one? I think that's...
All right. This is Guns N' Roses, One in a Million, calling himself a small town white boy. Axl is trying to make it in L.A., rails against black people, uses the N-word and the gay slur, and rants against immigrants and cops as well. He hates everyone.
I
Oh, was that the...
Yep.
You reversed that word?
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't reverse it. I put something else in there. I didn't reverse it, but yeah.
Whoa.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You are trick.
I am tricky.
You are. You're very tricky.
Wow.
All right, that's going to do it. Anyway, where did you say it was? UltimateClassicRock.com? If you want, there's a zillion songs on
well,
this list.
Well, what was
list.
That?
UltimateClassicRock.com.
GNR had a song, and I don't know if it was a cover. I used to love her, but
I had
to kill her.
To kill her.
What is that? Who's is that theirs, or did they cover that?
I don't know. It's a Charles Manson song? Oh, lovely.
No. They did a Charles Manson cover, but that's not the one. Look
Are
at My
sure?
Game Girl was the Manson song.
Look at My Game Girl?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if that was a cover or not, but that was actually just a little short ditty. You know, sort of funny, I guess.
Is it?
Yeah, I used to love her.
I can still hear her complain.
Yeah.
After he's buried her.
Right.
You don't know that either?
Uh-uh.
Huh. Yeah, those are awful.
Yeah. Well, that one in a million one, though, that's a... one of their best awful songs. So there you go. That's the Rock's Most Politically Incorrect Songs. What's coming up in the news, Vincent?
Well, I've got The Secret to Happiness and a fight at the PTA meeting.
Oh, that's always fun. Interracial love.
So did I. What's the matter with it?
Well, it's actually about a plantation owner taking advantage of his female slaves.
What?
Which kind of sets it in a whole new light for me. So here's a... were there any specific...
Cotton fields.
It's right there.
Ah!
Wait, I missed it.
Play it again.
Slave in the...
Something about a slave plows the cotton fields. Oh, man.
It's Gold
a brown
Coast
sugar.
Slave.
Say it again. Gold Coast slave. Oh, my God.
Ship bound for cotton fields. Sold in the market down in New Orleans.
Oh, man. All this time.
How'd you grow up with that and miss that line?
I don't know. I know.
How'd you sing along to that? You're just like...
You know
what? I guess I never did because that is... Yeah,
I feel
awful.
Like I have sung that song, and I just don't. Oh God, it's so crazy. I just thought, and it's a radio staple still. There's classic rock stations that still are playing that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, I guess he's just telling a story. It's a terrible story, but the vapors turning Japanese. It's about self-love, but it's racist. Like they say, you're squeezing your eyes shut, and that makes you look Asian.
Right,
like it makes you look Japanese. We're getting kind of late here. I want to jump to the crystals.
Crystals,
this is
yes.
a little gem that that Bryn found. I'm not sure if I know this one. Is it called He Hit Me?
Yeah, it's called He Hit Me.
All right, let's hear this.
All right.
He Hit Me. Me too. Yeah, that's not a very PC thing in today's world.
It's very much a downer.
Yeah.
Are you going to hit that Guns N' Roses one? I think that's...
All right, this is Guns N' Roses, One in a Million. Calling himself a small-town white boy, Axel is trying to make it in L.A., rails against black people, uses the N-word and the gay slur, and rants against immigrants and cops as well. He hates everyone. Oh, was that the...
Yep.
You reversed that word?
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't reverse it. I put something else in there. I didn't reverse it, but yeah.
Whoa.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You are trick.
I am tricky.
You are. You're very tricky.
Wow.
All right, that's going to do it. Anyway, where did you say it was? UltimateClassicRock.com. If you want, there's a zillion songs on
well,
this list.
Well, what was
list.
That? GNR had a song, and I don't know if it was a cover. I used to love her, but I had,
to, kill
her.
Kill her.
What is that? Who's is that theirs, or did they cover that?
I don't know. It's a Charles Manson song? Oh, lovely.
No. They did a Charles Manson cover, but that's not the one. Look
Are
at My
sure?
Game Girl was the Manson song.
Look at My Game Girl?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if that was a cover or not, but that was actually just a little short ditty. You know, sort of funny, I guess.
Is it?
Yeah, I used to love her.
I can still hear her complain.
Yeah.
After he's buried her.
Right.
You don't know that either?
Uh-uh.
Huh. Yeah, those are awful.
Yeah. Well, that One in a Million one, though, that's a... one of their best awful songs. So there you go. That's the Rock's Most Politically Incorrect Songs. What's coming up in the news, Vincent?
Well, I've got The Secret to Happiness and a fight at the PTA meeting.
Oh, those, that's always fun. Radio.com. Radio.com. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It is 7:37 on Get Her Done Tuesday. Knowing.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by... Here's what's happening. Easter Sunday is this Sunday. I wanted to mention that. Also, baseball opening... Major League Baseball's opening day is March 29th, this Thursday. All teams will play their first game of the season this Thursday.
Don't forget opening weekend. Look for Hooman and Yuzette in the special Alice suite.
Oh, yeah.
You're out of the game.
That's right.
Speaking of the A's, that's where you'll be, right?
Yeah, the A's game.
The owners of the A's have made an offer to buy, or sorry, to take on the debt from the city of Oakland for the location
for
where their stadium is,
uh-huh,
and the same spot where the Oracle is, which will be no longer used. I guess that they'll use it for concerts, unless they're going to tear everything down. But Oakland's basically lost all its teams except the one.
Mm-hmm. It actually sounds like there might be interest from other parties that they're trying to stave off, like that there are developers who are like, we would love to take that land and here's what we'll offer you for it. And
sure.
Are they saying what they would do with it?
Well, whatever it would be, I'm sure the A's would rather have that be parking or an additional facility.
The article I read is, and Libby, the Oakland mayor, is looking at the, I think she's looking at it either yesterday or today, their proposal, but most of the response has been positive. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to lose our final pro team. It's embarrassing.
They don't want to.
And it is embarrassing. You've lost the Raiders and you've, you know, the Warriors have come over here to put their stadium. And so and I know people who love the A's, grew up on the A's, want to keep the A's there. So I think that's great news if that's the case. Because I know San Jose wants them bad. Wanted them bad, and even had set aside land for them to come build their stadium.
Right.
Only Major League Baseball kept that from happening, or the Giants did, I guess.
Does baseball expand much? I can't even remember the last time they added teams. I know teams move sometimes, but could San Jose potentially get a team just via expansion?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think they could
get one.
Get a team.
Like
I hear Tampa Bay's team doesn't get much of a following. I hear the Miami team, while they have a new stadium, they also don't, and new owners, they also don't, because they're transient, that's a transient state.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are snowbirds that come down or retire down there, and they're actually Yankee fans or Red Sox fans.
Right. They take their home team with them.
So they're not looking to become a Marlins fan. So they have problems. So there might be a way for a team to move, but I don't think there's going to be any more expansion.
Right.
That's what it is. San Jose Giants. They have the minor league team.
Well, no. The Giants, can somewhere along the way, the Giants have some deal where San Jose is their territory.
Oh, so they'd have to surrender some of their
territory. They've been able to block the A's deal because I think legally they have
this side of the Bay is
this
us.
This is us. That's our fan base. You don't get to have it. So it's been a thing.
Mm.
So it'll be nice to see the A's get a new stadium they so deserve.
Yep.
Instead of having to tarp the entire upper deck. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
707 says, I was at the A's game last night. Woohoo, we crushed them.
All right. Go A's and check out Hooman and Uzi out there this upcoming weekend. They're going to be raging.
Yeah.
The secret to happiness. Mm. What is it, Sarah? Is it a finished backyard?
That's not going to make me happy. I'll say it's...
I knew... That there was
nothing
no way.
Nothing ever does, Vinny.
Right,
I'm
I know.
Insatiable. I will say it's health.
Hmm.
And I mean, obviously, I think it's like the relations, it's the people around you, the secret. But I don't know. That's a hard one to sum up in one category. What are they saying in your story?
University of Oslo in Norway studied more than 100,000 people, and they found the secret to happiness is using the internet every day.
Oh, really?
Is that scary or what?
That's really scary.
It's especially true as you get older.
It makes me feel anxious when I use the internet.
They found that people who went online every day got over their midlife crisis faster, felt more connected to the world and their friends, and felt like they had enough information to make better life decisions.
No, that's interesting. The internet is great. I mean, it has a downside for sure, but I mean, I sure like shopping on it.
There's no doubt that convenience has become almost a right, as in we feel like it has to be easier. Hurry up, make this easier and better for me, quicker for me.
I know, things are just they're too easy now.
Thank you, Amazon. I have a button next to the washing machine that I can touch, and it somehow, without me ever touching my wallet or the internet, orders up my new laundry soap.
Yep. So you have that.
I don't have that. I'm just saying that that's out there.
I was thinking about getting that.
I personally could live without. I want a little less convenience. It's too much. Mm. It's too much connection.
I like the convenience. You know, the funniest thing about Amazon and some of these companies that you order, you're like, you know, it's 11 p.m. and you're like, oh, you know what? I need to get XYZ, whatever it is.
11 p.m.
Whatever it is,
so
you're talking
drunk.
About it. Maybe. But whatever, you know, I don't know. At dinner, you say, you know, your kid says, oh, I need this thing, you know, whatever. And you go, all right. And you open up your Amazon app and you quickly order the thing and get it off your plate. And then it shows up the next day. Like sometimes it's like, oh, free 2 days shipping. Oh, fantastic. Well, you'll get that Tuesday, kid. And then before they get home from school on Monday, there it is. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God. You're right. It's scary how fast it is. Now they're going to do all the drone stuff. I guess Silicon Valley, the show.
Yeah.
There was some kind of drone delivery pizza thing that happened in the season premiere this past
story.
Weekend.
I'll have to catch up with that this weekend, the show.
But that people were getting pizza delivered to them by drone yesterday as part of like a promotion for the whole thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, I have the story. I'll try to get to it in the 8 o'clock trash.
Pizza by drone.
It was called Slice Line.
Hmm. We do love pizza.
Oh, my God. And if you could just order one up and it came flying in at you.
650 says the A's signed away their rights to the San Jose territory. Mm. Why would they do that? I don't believe that for 1 second.
It's Texters, true.
What?
It's true.
They did?
Yeah.
What, were they drunk?
Well, the Giants kind of oversee that area. That's why the A's can't move to San Jose.
Well, no, I said that part, but what do you mean they signed away their rights? Why would they have said, go ahead and have it?
Maybe they took it in exchange for something else.
Yeah, but that's what I'm asking. What could you have offered them?
I don't know.
Otherwise,
you'd say...
I didn't
think you signed for territory.
No,
I think
let's
you could
fist
say,
fight over it. Right. Come on. We'll see who can make it a more attractive team and make people want to follow them. Signed away there. Okay.
If you say so, 650.
Anyway, the secret to happiness, they're saying here, is getting on the internet. It makes you feel more connected. I do feel like now, as the Facebook has become... the baby boomers tool of
connection.
Choice. Yeah, there is a positive there for sure.
Definitely. Like if you're housebound, or you can still be talking to your old friends and be looking for people. I said health because I never appreciate my health until I don't have it. Like when, you know, just even that simple cold that I had last week that just knocked me on my ass. I think it was Wednesday of last week. I really felt free of the symptoms. And I like the buoyancy. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I just should really take a moment and appreciate my health every day. Because that was just a cold. Imagine, like, you go through cancer or a year of chemo.
Oh, dude.
Like, to be on the other side of that, like, to be able to celebrate that, like, to me, that would bring quite a bit of happiness.
So here it is in a nutshell. In the 90s...
Oh, this is the A's thing?
Yeah. In the 90s, Bob Lurie, who was basically the owner of the Giants, wanted to move the Giants to San Jose because of all the difficulties with San Francisco and the stadium and
stuff. Well, right. The candles... That was when candles... They were trying to get out of Candlestick...
That's right.
...and get a new stadium built. Sure.
So Walter Haas, who was the owner of the A's, did what was in the best interest of baseball and said, okay, here's the permission from us... Because we're also in the Bay Area. So what ultimately ended up happening was permission was granted in perpetuity. And once the permission was granted, it says in this article, unfortunately, things never got changed. So because that one dude granted them permission to move, things never got. And now that the Giants have that, it's now a tug of war. There's all these articles like in the New York Times about, hey, you know, the A's did it out of, you know, the goodness of their hearts. The Giants should give it back, but the Giants aren't going to give it back.
No. Why would they?
Well, because one side, you know, did it for the good of baseball.
Right,
the
but, other, you know, that's... Hey, her. Right? I mean, yeah, that's...
Too
look,
bad for you.
Look, it's a contract. Sorry.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Bad news for you.
I'm going to... This article is super long. I'll put it on Sarah and Vinny's Facebook page.
Thank you, Holman. Yeah. Right. Thank you so much.
Read all the details. All
right. Have fun at the game this weekend, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
You going to wear a ball cap or what?
I have an Ace shirt. I'll wear that.
Is it that orange one you
remember
have?
The one that cursed him when they were doing well that time? Is it the one with the pink in it?
Yeah,
yeah, it's pink.
So, yeah.
Oh, pink.
It's more like salmon color.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys answering for me? That's so weird. How do you know I didn't get a new one?
Oh, did you get a new one?
I don't want to talk about that.
That means
the article's up on Sarah and Vinny.
Thanks, Uwe.
There's a 41-year-old woman named Lori Ganasha who lives in Staten Island, New York. She recently had a falling out with her best friend.
Oh, bummer.
Lori's ex-best friend went out and got herself a new best friend. So Lori, Ganasha's of Staten Island, she had a falling out with her best friend. Lori's ex-best friend went and got herself a new best friend.
Okay.
And apparently that made Lori jealous and furious. So when all three women were at the PTA meeting at their kids' Catholic school on Saturday night, Lori ran up to her ex-best friend's new best friend and started choking her.
Oh, my God.
Just ran right up and started choking her. The cops came and arrested Lori. But that wasn't the end. Less than 24 hours later, Lori went to her ex-best friend's house and threw a brick through the window. And then went inside with a gun.
Oh, my God. That's quite an escalation.
Starter pistol, so it only makes the sound of a gun.
Oh, those can't fire anything? Just a little flag comes
blanks.
Out.
Yeah, what?
Go.
You think at all horse races they're like firing a bullet into the air?
I don't know.
Heads up.
Duck and cover.
Anyway, the cops came and they say Lori pointed the gun at them. So they fired five shots and hit her in the shoulder. She was taken to the hospital and is facing several charges.
Oh, man. Friends.
Love and friendship.
How many of us have them? Friends. Yuzi, you'd never go that far, right? I know you
I totally thought of Yuzi, too.
What? She's really possessive of her friends. If you had a falling out with your best friend and they went and got another best friend and was posting all about it on Facebook, what would you do?
I'm not going to do all that.
Good. That's a that's good. That's the right answer.
That's the answer, right.
That's the right. Good.
I'm just gonna.
You got
maybe,
that one right, Yuzi.
I'm gonna. What is it? Unfriend.
Yeah, just unfriend them.
Okay, good.
That well, seems that's totally
that's
reasonable.
The adult, mature way to handle that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Our text number. Did I say? Yeah, I did. Hey guys, Shark Tank is a financial show. People come on and pitch their ideas to the panel and try to get them to invest. Shark Week is about sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was Shark Week, right?
We're talking about Shark Week.
We're talking about Shark Week.
That's what Trump was watching when...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate Shark
Week. Every time we talk about Shark Week...
Right.
Or Shark Tank, we get a million texts saying... That we were talking about the other thing. It was Shark Week. I don't know what show he was watching during Shark Week, but there are places that are they're examining this to the point of narrowing it down to the one show that he was watching on Shark Week, while Stormy Daniels was in the hotel room with him.
I don't like it. I've seen enough sharp teeth, open mouths coming out of the water to fill me for a lifetime.
I don't like it.
I did not like it.
I don't like it.
Great.
What else you got?
There goes my arm. What is wrong with you, Sarah and Vinny?
What do we do now?
Making light of the president having an affair with a porn star when his wife just gave birth? Really?
Oh, no. He's a scumbag. We get it.
You're disappointed because there isn't more to the story than a spanking?
Yeah, we want a little
more.
What
is this world coming to? Look, we already knew he had an affair with the lady. I just thought the story was going to be a lot more scandalous than that.
We didn't get anything new. Sorry, we want more dirt.
When you think of power and porn, you expect filth.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yes.
I wanted to have to look something up.
I wanted her to give me some confirmation of the Russian pee tape. Like, yeah, he was into water sports. That's what I was looking for, personally.
Is that right?
Yeah, that would have been a solid clue.
All right. And on that, Sarah, what's coming up in the trash?
Well, first of all, Vinny, we're up for an award, so I'm going to tell people how to vote for us because that's what we're going to do, pander for your vote. Also, I'm going to put you on the board of a company, and you are going to approve or disapprove a new ad campaign that I've got figured out for
you.
Oh,
I'm ready.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.